Debbie.
Patrick, I would say I was mobile, but gotta wait for this frost to get up.
For the vehicles to warm up myself this morning, so I'm running a little bit behind.
I'm out.
I'm getting ready to turn off 25 on the 290.
36 in Greer right now.
Two at the house this morning.
What time of year, isn't it?
Because you're telling me so.
And
out the Sudafed this morning. I feel like somebody's beating a drum on my head.
And to get better by the end of the day.
Plan this weekend.
Do you have any specific plans this weekend?
Breakfast with my son this tomorrow. And then he and I are going to try to finish up our Christmas shopping Saturday. So I don't know how long that'll take.
Do a little bit of that for a couple of the grandkids, and that's about it.
Any of them yet, so I ain't got to worry about that one.
Cars, I got to read up in my book, but, you know, it's got that assist where if you're coming up on a car and it thinks you're going to crash, it starts putting on the brakes, but that one, that light came on, said it was disengaged, but now it says it's engaged again. I wonder what that's about.
Radar picking up something. Could have frost on it.
What to do with the weather? Yeah, it turned right back on again. I think it's probably because it's cold and it won't let it put on the brakes when it's like snowy or something or icy.
That's probably a good plan. Applying the brakes on ice would not be a good thing.
Yeah, you got that right.
Never make it without all this technology.
A lot better. Pictures of people driving old cars on biased tires and a lot of snow and not any wrecks.
Get some of the old pictures and the stuff that's out there, what they used to drive cars through and around and up and down. And you think about that car and you're like, man, how did they ever get that done?
Old Impala, I don't know, maybe a 62 or 63. And they had the, when you had the tires, remember when the tires had the letters instead of the numbers for the width and that, but it did fine.
Had a four-wheel drive vehicle until I bought mine when I got old enough.
Four-wheel drive until Susan's first Jeep.
Blizzard of 93. Up around the house, I was driving a 69 Ford Ranger. It's one of the full size, two-wheel drive, all wheelbase with a three-speed in the floor that you had to pattern shift. It had the H pattern. You couldn't just slide it into gear. I went everywhere I wanted to go in that.
I had a 79 model, you know, full-size Ford, and then drove it all the way up to Kansas City in the snow and everything, and that didn't find it. I always paid attention. You were good.
I sent you yesterday of the snow up there. That's the mountain I'm looking at out my front door. They're about 1,000 feet above me.
Close, wasn't it?
Why is it? Might have been 2 miles up.
Colorado, it would, you know, it'd be a real cold rain, but then anything above 7,000, it'd be snowing.
Around that 3,500 foot mark. Once you get over it, that's when the snow starts usually. And Jeter Mountain is right there at that 3,500 foot mark.
Plans for today?
Just try to get through it.
You're off tomorrow, right?
I got some stuff I need to get shipped out, but other than that, I'm good.
Smithfield, they cut their ties with like 26 hog farms because of too much supply.
I'm going to cut our meat consumption down to 12% of what it is now.
The
plan just to do away with all the restaurants and make them go out of business and everybody start cooking from home again?
Peach Kicks, I have no idea, but they were running a segment on the radio this week about Greenville, Spartanburg, and Anderson. The brick and mortar stores were down 12% over the last 2 years.
Abundance of hogs, you think bacon, the price of bacon would go down?
That's how it works. That's how it's always worked for me.
You're a hog farmer and that. I'd like to think that at least they took all the hogs I had and give me a chance to decide if I wanted to grow some more, whatever, but, that, you know, it's got to be hard to find a buyer for them.
They're not going to do that. They're going to put the little man on the hook for all of it. So he's got to find some way to get rid of all that hog meat.
I'm going in my bad spot. KN4 TFW.
I'm still here. Wonder where Andrew's at this morning.
Did he had to go in early.
Well, there's something about this road.
They'll wait till they get, you know, 6 or 8 more subdivisions and it gets really, really busy before they start working on it. It ain't much better than the old. A little bit, though.
I mean, it's not as smooth as it should be.
About the, you know, the contractor you use. You got, you know, contractors that can do a good job and you got so-so contractors and we just don't follow up behind them.
Happens when you always go with the cheapest bid.
Subdivision is terrible. They, you know, they come in one day and they ground it all up and then redid it. And, you know, you don't see a ton of traffic and that, but it's, man, it's just terrible. Here today.
I'm out here on Wade Hampton now. It's a little busy this morning. Trade quarters used to be right there across from Josie's. Shop trade quarters, the tire store. We normally park there for lunch and go into Josie's. Since they closed Fats up, the Greer Police Department and Fire Department stopped us about 2 weeks ago and told us to be careful in there because the homeless had been coming in there and pulling the grates up. They broke into the building. They were living in the building. I mean, there was a bunch of them in there.
Bring it for your truck to get broke into.
To find a place we can stop and get lunch and get our trucks in.
Yeah, you'd end up over there in a Target parking lot, right?
Walk a quarter mile to get back to Josie, though.
Making it convenient. They want to make all these rules and everything, and you know, you can't park here, you can't park there, but they don't want to make a, you know, provisions for you to do something legal.
If we could park there, just be careful, because didn't know what was going to come out of there, and be careful with the grates, because the grates there, it's about 1.5 feet wide when they pull the grates up, and pretty good size hole you got to get across.
Pull the grates up.
For scrap metal.
Sell one close where I didn't have to walk 10 miles all the way up there to, you know, and dunk it to get rid of it.
But that's what they were doing with them.
Cars that parked behind Josie's don't get broke into. I wonder why the police don't run them off from there.
I'm off, but anywhere you see a wooded area, there'll be an encampment in there. I don't know if I've told you or not, but over off of, as I'm getting off of 123 to get back on 25, Whitehorse Road there, if you look down in the hole that's there, it's a wooded area. There's a, I don't know, an 8-person tent set on a wooden platform. They got a nice little campsite down in front of it, a couple more tents over here on the other side. They got them a little community down in there.
It is, I just see it just getting worse. I mean, even it's getting to where even people that work can't hardly afford it.
Definitely seems that way. I know I've seen a lot more of it up around the house than what there usually is. Lots of families living up in the forest. Been there, done that. Know how it feels.
Cut behind my house, and you'd see them cutting back and forth, and you know they'd have a backpack that was obviously empty, and then 20 minutes later they'd come back, and the backpack would be full, and they'd be loaded down. I don't know what they were hauling, but they were going over behind the Ingalls. That street behind the Ingalls is a big homeless place. Business 85 today.
Sit up a little bit, huh?
Shorter distance, you know, it's almost a straight line shot, and they finally opened it up. And I want to see if I need an exit to be open so I can go to the nut and bolt place. I wonder if it's open yet.
We're finally about to get done with that section of 85, move on to somewhere else.
Business 85 going through, you know, Spartanburg. They were replacing three bridges, and they got it all finished up now. It's open. Ingalls for lunch?
Down here, but I've ate at Ingalls in the deli quite a bit for lunch up around the house.
Here's not too bad. At least you'd have a place to park. Read the road signs coming down through here. They just, I don't know, they're like all faded out. You know, I saw a cable for my radio, the 6-pin to a USB, and it was an MFJ, and Steve suggested maybe not going with MFJ, get one from Yaesu, but all the ones I see from Yaesu say something about Wires X. It's got some kind of big unit in the middle. You know anything about it?
This is a form of CF4 fusion digital radio. From my understanding, I could be wrong, but I'd have to dive in and see what I could find out on your radio, and I'll just be honest with you, I haven't done it yet. Maybe this weekend I'll try to do that.
Not like I couldn't just use that cable as a, you know, a go-between cable, that you had to have a subscription or something even to get it to work.
What about fusion and CF4 and Wires X? Because there's nowhere to use it around here. So, just don't know a whole lot about it.
An apartment is everywhere. Like, over here, there used to be a field, and now it's just covered up in apartments.
Moved in here somewhere.
Article yesterday, it was about some little town, I want to say it was in Illinois, but like 9,000 people on it. The city council gave the okay for a Chinese company to build like a $2 billion battery factory there. And it's like, man, that's just going to be terrible for them people. They tried to do it in another town, and the city council voted it in, and then everybody voted all those council members out and canceled it.
I know a little bit about it. I wasn't sure exactly what all they were talking about because just got bits and pieces. But
country town of 9,000 to build a huge factory, and then you're pulling in all the people, and other people move in, and then pretty soon the people that were originally in that town can't afford it no more. Kind of like Greer.
Every small town in the South is lately.
Good morning, KO4MUF.
KO4HKX.
Good morning, Jody. Been missing you. KN4TFW.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope all's good with y'all.
I'm doing good. Hope you are too.
Yep, doing well over here.
Roger that. Yep. Top shelf, guys, top shelf. Mr. Patrick, if you don't mind. Truck yesterday, looked it up, it says that my, it was a thermostat codes, you know, for low temperature. Probably just thermostat starting to stick after 130,000 or 150,000 miles, right?
Truck has two of them, and they're real easy to change.
Yes, sir. I got to pick them up today. I'll change them out Saturday morning.
How's that job will be getting all the air out of the cooling system?
Question.
Cool for pulling a vacuum on that system, but I know you don't have it. So the best thing to do is fire it up, run it for a little bit, get it kind of warm, and then shut it down. And when you're filling it up, find one of the little heater hoses that's up high and unhook it until you see coolant coming out, and then put it back on and then finish filling it up.
Yep, okay. That makes total sense.
The air out of it for you, but then you'll have to run it, and you can't just let it sit there and idle. You'll have to hold it about 1500 RPM and bring it up to temperature, and then shut it off and let it cool down, and then top the coolant off again.
Okay, well, that makes total sense. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I had to take it in and drop it off and get that. I had a recall on my airbag on the driver's or passenger side. They fixed it. And, of course, I'm going down the road yesterday morning to work, and my check engine light comes on. I'm going, really?
Coincidence. There's nothing they done to do that, but a lot of people want to blame it on them.
I'm blaming nothing on nobody until after I seen what the code was. Blaming on the engine of the truck, roger.
Go to sleep.
Off the interstate here.
Everybody up. Sorry, guys.
It's just been one of those mornings. My sinuses are killing me, and so I'm kind of out of it a little bit.
Well, you get off the interstate, you got to kind of pay attention, because when you get down to the end, it just has a yield sign going to the right, and it makes you think that there's a, you know, a lane that you can get into, but it's not. As soon as you make that right, you're out in the highway. Man, a pickup truck got T-boned by a dump truck yesterday.
That's not good at all.
You can't see back to the left because, you know, there's a bridge there, and they're just kind of tucked in, hidden behind the guardrail on that, so you got to really look.
Two coming out in a truck like this, seeing back that way, big blind spots.
What do you like about being up here? Most of the little spots where you have the bad blind spots, they put in a little side street that a dump truck or a big truck can turn into there and look to their right before they pull out.
Something like that, but I run across quite a few of them that there ain't no looking. You just got to kind of run over the curb and get to where you can see the best you can.
Got to get onto a four lane, and a lot of the traffic's in the right lane because just 100 yards down the road is the hot spot, and they're trying to get into there, and it's got truck parking.
Like any fun.
Like some good planning there on the highway department. I'll have to get my day started. I hope y'all have a safe trip on in, and have a wonderful day. So stay safe out there. KO4HKX. I'll be clear on your finals. 7-3.
Patrick, good time, and I just rolled the gate, so I might say goodbye to you guys too. So everybody have an awesome day. Be safe out there, and I'll catch you guys maybe in the morning. KN4TFW.
Very much for the information, both of you gentlemen. Y'all have a great day. God bless. 7-3 is KO4MUF. We're mobile and listening.